think I'm entitled?
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Breaking right now, smoke rising above the Gaza skyline as Israel expands its ground offensive against Hamas militants.
And as IDF forces enter the second phase of the war, one of the biggest challenges for troops is the very elaborate Hamas tunnel system built underneath the already challenging urban battlefield.
Once you get through the Gaza area and into this, it's like a second city underground with all the challenges of an urban conflict area, but amplified. You think about small spaces and unknown pathways, and the fact that as a baseline, there is no natural light. And if you can recall the last time you tried to navigate your own house in the middle of the night without turning on the lights, you can start to imagine where their day begins when we start to talk about tunnel warfare and the underground areas that Hamas has.
Yes, the tunnel battle under Gaza is going to be as deadly, if not more deadly, than the ground battle above the tunnels. Going house to house is one thing, building to building. Now going into tunnels where there is little, if any, light, and you have no direction of where you are and where you're going, but the enemy does. Hamas has been building these tunnels for years, and they know what's there and where to go. You were listening then to a report from Fox News as to how some of the latest battling is going, and then you were hearing from Chris Banwig, a retired Marine colonel, saying going into these tunnels, you don't know what you're going to encounter. And he's right, if you stop and think for a moment. Going into your own home at night, if the lights are out, the power's off, and you're trying to find your way through, you know where your furniture and pieces are. But then again, you're probably likely to stumble into something you forgot or misjudge where it might be. Now imagine that's a bomb device or a terrorist waiting to cut your throat. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, October 30, 2023. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back to back. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. Numerous sources, numerous ways to watch. If you miss anything, video and or audio, you want to pull it up, listen, watch it again, or share with others, which I strongly encourage, you simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. And I thank you for it. The situation in Israel, or rather in Gaza, continues to escalate. Now, Israel says it's eliminated several senior Hamas commanders pulled off during daring raids. This means getting in closer to the enemy, even while they're shelling various parts of Gaza. That's why it's been so much precision hits, because they want to make sure they don't strike their own forces. And, of course, in the process, they are also trying to get hostages freed. I'm reminding you that last report, there are at least 20 Americans still being held hostage. We have been told that maybe another 15-plus American hostages have been killed. They were caught in some of those bombings, according to the IDF. Now, there's late word that's been coming down that an Israeli soldier has been freed after weeks of Hamas captivity. That is going to be a developing story. We also have the Israeli Defense Forces striking Lebanon after missiles again hit Israeli territory. That was always suspected. It was going on last week as well. Hezbollah, based in Lebanon, has been firing into Israel. And now they're returning fire as they were last week. You want to keep this contained. But the more the other enemies engage and from different parts, Israel's going to respond. Put it to yourself, if you were Israel, would you sit there and just take a pounding and no retaliation? Of course not. When it comes to these tunnels and getting inside of them, one source last week was suggesting maybe the only way to truly exterminate Hamas inside the tunnels would be the use of gas. That would be dangerous not only, obviously, for Hamas, but hostages being held inside or any Israeli forces if they weren't prepared for a gas to be released. There's so much coordination that has to be done. And just getting to the tunnels, they are buried deep, deep. And again, let's go back to retired Lieutenant Colonel Chris Bandwick.
Hamas is cynically using hospitals and as a shield for its underground terror complex. I want to explain. There is an underground metro tunnels in Gaza City, not just in Gaza City. Usually it's based next to unique sites or sensitive sites, not just the hospital, but other sites, as mosques, etc., etc., UNRWA places, hospital, schools, etc., etc. This is a philosophy of Hamas, and Shifa is one of them. It is here in Shifa Hospital where Hamas operates some of its command and control cells. This is where the direct rocket attacks command Hamas forces. Hamas terrorists operate inside and under Shifa Hospital and other hospitals in Gaza with network of terror tunnels. Hamas also has an entrance to those terror tunnels from inside the hospital wards, meaning from different places of the hospital, you can go into an underground tunnel that will provide you shelter.
That was an IDF general talking about how extensive the tunnels are and that they are also under hospitals, the main hospital and others, and various connecting routes in and out of the hospital into the tunnels. So then to actually locate the tunnels and then to get to them, they are going to be looking at the use at some point, possibly, of bunker bombs. Now, bunker bombs are loaded with explosives. They're also equipped with a fuse that might delay the explosion until the right timing, but timing that and the depth is part of the issue. And again, the Marine retired Lieutenant Colonel Bandwick.
You can set a delay potentially on the fuse of some of these explosives so that they will go to the depth that they need to and detonate. When we think about the math and the science that goes into it, the technology is absolutely there for us to be careful in the way that we are applying these ordinances. But it's not perfect, as you said. There is risk to both anyone underground and our troops that are in the area.
Yeah, because the explosion, the concussion, and of course, whatever it might cause to nearby implode or fall down, it's not going to be limited to just that tunnel and that area where the bomb is placed. If you recall, at one point during the search for Osama bin Laden, our Air Force was using a 30,000-pound bunker buster bomb, which they called the mother of all bombs. It was a massive ordnance penetrator and certainly went deeper than others, time and delayed to go as deep as it could before it exploded. In this case, these tunnels will not be that deep, but again, they'll be deep enough to get to them and to bring down the tunnel, to close it off and expose it more. They will have to drop these in precise locations. And then, of course, be worried about repercussions, concussions, and other demolition that might endanger the Israeli forces, the hostages, and, of course, Palestinian civilians. I can't stress to you enough that Palestinian civilians are at risk here, not because Israel is trying to get to Hamas, but because Hamas is using civilians as shields. They will not let the Palestinians leave. The aid that was delivered last week, and they're continuing to try to get more aid into Palestine, food, water, supplies, medical, most of that is being immediately captured and controlled by Hamas. Then they will use it as they choose. You want everyone that is innocent to be out of the area? And the only way that would happen is if Hamas said, we give permission for all Palestinian who are not fighting with us to leave. But they've been killing those who do try to leave. Talking about these bunkers and how they've been used, I want to go back to the IDF general. And as he said, immediately after October 7th, Hamas went to the ground.
We have concrete evidence that hundreds of terrorists flooded into the hospital to hide there after the massacre of October 7th. Hamas uses Shifa Hospital as a shield for Hamas terror infrastructure. Hamas wages war from hospitals. By operating from these hospitals, Hamas not only endangers the lives of Israelis, civilians, but also exploit innocent Gazan civilians as human shield. Shifa is not the only hospital, it is one of many. Hamas' use of hospitals is a systematic. Hamas terrorists operate inside hospitals precisely because they know the IDF distinguishes between terrorists and civilians. Israel targets terrorists, Hamas target Israeli civilians and Gazan civilians.
And that's the difference, because Hamas has no care about life. Palestinians to them, their own brothers and sisters, are used as cannon fodder. I mentioned earlier that the Israeli Defense Forces say that they have taken down four more senior Hamas commanders. Undisclosed attacks that took place yesterday. It suggests that we know that Hamas has been pushed back some from the northern side of Gaza. That is where the Israeli forces have now entered. They're inside Gaza and moving slowly forward, and probably advanced special teams have gone in looking for specific targets. One of them they've apparently eliminated is among the commanders is the commander of the naval force in the central camps, the commander of the anti-tank formation, a prominent operative of the anti-tank system, and then also a senior officer in the headquarters. IDF forces were guided by intelligence information from Shin Bet, eliminating these operatives and taking them out, but they're looking for more. Axios News is reporting that Saudi defense minister is to meet with the senior Biden White House leaders today. That was scheduled some time ago, the meeting, before a lot of this happened. But it does come now after the Israeli ground war is entered Gaza. How important is this meeting at this point? Retired Lieutenant Colonel Keith Kellogg.
It is very significant. And the reason why it's so significant right now is, remember, when President Biden came in, he called the Saudi Arabians, it was a pariah state. So his relationship with MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, who is the crown prince, and he's the designated heir to the King Salman, they've got to get those relations back together, and they're not really good right now. And they're going to be key, because what's happened is they tried to normalize relations, the Israelis, between they and Saudi Arabia. But the Saudis are backing away from us a bit. Look what that deal they just had with Iran, where they kind of come in with a peace agreement. That was brokered by the Chinese, not by the United States. So it's very, very important that the president, when he talks to the defense minister of Saudi Arabia, he gets his message across that, you know, we're with you, Saudi Arabia. We need to stay in line with Israel and come together on this negotiation, having some type of a peace agreement.
And hopefully that would stay. And again, that was part of the Abraham Accord, brokered during the Trump administration. The Saudis were prepared to sign on to the Abraham Accord. Hamas does not want peace in the Middle East. They want the chaos, and they want to wipe out Israel. And worldwide, anti-Semitism is increasing at a rapid rate. And we know that also in our states. We see it on our university campuses. We see it elsewhere. And even in Russia, a plane load of Israelis and Jews had arrived at a Russian airport. Word got out. So numerous folks showed up at the airport trying to storm their way onto the tarmac, wanting to kill the Jews and Israelis getting off that flight. Russia did prevent them from doing that, but Russia also probably has to be held somewhat accountable because recently they invited Hamas leaders to Russia. Why? Well, we all know that Russia, China, Iran, Iraq, they all have similar goals. They each have their own individual goal, but their similar goal is to control the world. And then, of course, they'll battle among themselves. And then you have inside our Congress, as expressed the other day, and I want you to hear her again, Washington Congresswoman Yaya Paul repeating the same message this last weekend on Meet the Press.
The American people are actually quite far away from where the president and even Congress, the majority of Congress, has been on Israel and Gaza. They support the right for Israel to defend itself, to exist, but they do not support a war crime exchanged for another war crime. And I think the president has to be careful about that.
Yaya Paul is saying a war crime for another war crime. The war crime was attacking civilians, unarmed civilians in Israel, children, women, babies. There's your war crime. The response by Israel is not a war crime. That's retaliatory, obviously. And yet you get idiots like Yaya Paul and others all supporting the PLO view regardless of the facts. They're not going to let the facts interfere with their narrative. And of course, you got Hollywood elite stepping forward. Actress Angelina Jolie. Beautiful woman, liked her acting. Right now, I turn my back on her. She is swinging out against Israel bombing the Gaza Strip. In an Instagram post, she said, "I've spent the last week sick and angry at the terrorist attack in Israel, the death of so many innocent." At least she recognized that. And then she talks about the children murdered, the children now orphaned, because of Israel bombing Gaza. She said they had no possibility of evacuation. She's wrong. They would have if Hamas would let them go. They won't let them go. So now she, like Yaya Paul, is saying this is barbaric to attack Gaza and all these Palestinians caught in the middle of the war. Well, if Hamas were not using as shields, hiding under the hospitals, as you heard the IDF general say, then they would be at less risk, considerably. In the next hour, a rabbi is going to try to put some of this current conflict in a clear understanding and the ripple effects across the world. But up next, those progressives who would not condemn Hamas for what the terrorists did to babies and other civilians who simply want to shout, "Israel is wrong and Israel should cease fire." Not going to happen at this point. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930, AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441 all fours. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number, I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, 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 thunder,
thunder, thunder, thunder, thunder, thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
There are some close calls in politics, issues where reasonable minds can differ. And then there is the beheading of children, the killing of pregnant women, the barbarism of killing people simply because they are Jewish. So when a Republican and a Democrat joined hands to craft a resolution supporting Israeli victims and condemning terrorism, you would think that might pass without dissent. But you would think wrong. Nine House Democrats voted against the resolution. Six others sat on their lukewarm hands and voted present. To paraphrase Dante, the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who maintain their neutrality in the face of evil. And yet 15 House Democrats can't quite make up their minds. Or worse yet, they side with Hamas.
The words of Trey Gowdy from his Fox TV program on Sunday nights. He's referring to that resolution that was introduced last Wednesday. The point being, Speaker Mike Johnson, finally nominated and confirmed as Speaker, put that up immediately, marking the first time the House was going to pass any legislation in 3 weeks. The House resolution would affirm U.S. support for Israel in the war against Hamas. It was with bipartisan support, but as Trey Gowdy points out, it did not get unanimous approval. 412 for, 10 against. And among those nine Democrats voting against the measure, and one of them voting present, were the usual suspects. Rashida Tlaib, Cori Bush, Jamal Bowman, Andre Carson, Al Green of Texas, AOC, Summer Lee of Pennsylvania, Delia Ramirez of Illinois, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota. Another half dozen Democrats, including the Progressive Caucus Chair, Yahya Paul from Washington, voted present. Now, Congressman Thomas Massie, Republican of Kentucky, voted against it also. I want to make sure you understand that. The resolution, first reported by Axios, was led by, we say, again, bipartisan. Foreign Affairs Committee Chair Mike McCaul of Texas and Ranking Member Greg Meeks, a Democrat of New York. The resolution specifically affirms U.S. commitment to Israelis' security, including through security assistance, and calls on all countries to unequivocally condemn Hamas's brutal war. It also condemns Iran's support for terrorist groups and proxies, including Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad, calling for full enforcement of sanctions on Iran, which this administration has been failing to do, especially when it comes to oil. Yes, we're ticked off about the $6 billion Biden was going to give Iran, and then, of course, they quickly refroze it because it looked like, in many views, that that was the impetus for Hamas to carry out the attacks. That certainly added to it, and the fact that they were worried Saudi Arabia might sign on to the Abraham Accord. And the third point, most pressing, they hate Israel. They want to destroy it, wipe it out. But there's also reference to sanctions, as I pointed out. The $6 billion is paltry compared to the 100 plus billion of money Iran has made because we have not tightened, enforced the sanctions on oil, and their oil sales have been also funding these terrorist activities. But how could you stand there and vote against the atrocities committed by Hamas? Easy. You ignore heads of babies being chopped off, or you claim it didn't really happen, or you just simply, I'm so bought into Palestine from the sea to the ocean, wiping out Israel, then I'm not going to accept anything else. Now, on that point of reference that resolution and his thoughts about it, Trey Gowdy had on as a guest on his program last night former Deputy National Intel John Ratcliffe. His thoughts.
It has revealed the level of, at best, contempt for Israel that many in the Democratic Party and Democratic members of Congress have for Israel, or in some cases even hatred. But I think what's most appalling, Trey, is that it's revealed from the progressive wing the contempt for America. Look, that resolution that you talked about, 15 Democrats wouldn't condemn Hamas, not just for the killing of Israelis, but for the killing of Americans.
And that's a point that has often been forgotten already. We have told you from the beginning there were an untold number of Americans that were taken hostage and slaughtered. Some might have had dual citizenship, but they're still American. Back to that point and John Ratcliffe.
People gloss over the fact that at least 32 Americans were killed by Hamas, as if somehow the Americans were killed in a kinder or more gentle way than the Israelis. No. 32 Americans were butchered, were dismembered, were burned, were raped, were stabbed, were shot. And, you know, in one case, we know an American hostage who was taken hostage after one of his limbs was blown off. And so when members of the Democratic Party won't move to condemn a terrorist organization who does that against the American people, I think it really shows how far the Democratic Party has moved. I don't remember any Democrats refusing to condemn Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda after 9/11, but here we are in this situation, and it's very different.
It's very different, and yet it's the same. We have those who are willing to accept these kinds of atrocities in the name of what they consider to be a higher good, a higher good being erase Israel from the face of the earth. And all Jews. That's their basic premise. They can frame it any way they want. But now they're fully vocal about it. They want to destroy the nation of Israel. We have known that. Israel surrounded by enemies. Surrounded by enemies, except for the Mediterranean Sea. And yet the other day, some Hamas got hold of some vessels and tried to attack Israel in the northern part of Israel by sea. Thank God they were seen and slaughtered at the seashore, never got in to kill more Israelis and whatever their other intents were. Now again, back to John Ratcliffe, who had served previously as a national intel director. He said, you look at those surrounding this current president, there's where you start to find you've got a big issue.
What the administration should do, but probably won't do, is a couple of things. One, they should change their starting lineup. Look, when your national security team is advising you a week before these atrocities that things have never been better in the Middle East, they've never been quieter, and they don't even need to spend time working on the Middle East, those aren't the people that should be advising you, particularly with the spotty record that they have on other foreign policy issues. Second thing they should do is finally start being honest about Iran and the intelligence and Iran's role in these atrocities so that they can take lethal action against Iran in front of the international community.
They should, but again, if you recall, we had pointed out to you, just weeks before all this unfolded, Jake Sullivan, in that same national intel position that Ratcliffe had, was telling the world, everything is just great in the Middle East. We've got it all under control. He even delivered a speech to a group saying, the Middle East is the calmest it's been since ever. In other words, the Biden administration has done such a good job of making sure there's going to be peace in the world. We don't need to worry about the Middle East being a hot spot anymore. He is yet to come back and eat those words, which he should, and to apologize for those he misled. Most everyone in listening to him thought, that's probably not true, but we don't have anything to say against it. And then the attacks by Hamas started on Israel, coming across the buffer zone, killing, slaughtering innocent civilians, not going after military targets. They happened to get a few Israeli soldiers, but their targets were Israel, Jews in general. John Ratcliffe then suggests something that some are going to say that would be a step too far, but then again, at some point, maybe this step has to be taken directly.
Instead of unmanned facilities in Syria, they need to take precision strikes against the IRGC leadership in Iran, meaning hit their command and control centers, all of their kinetic infrastructure to control rockets, missiles, and drones, hit their leadership, hit their training facilities where they train Hamas and Hezbollah fighters. That's the way that we can de-escalate this situation, is by escalating the lethality of force used against Iran. That's what worked in the past. Moving away from that is what has created this situation in the first place.
Yep, but at some point, if you get Iran involved, how deep is that going to go, and then what happens? How much does China suddenly jump in? IDF tanks have been at the edge of Gaza City as of early today, taking control of a key road. They've been engaging with fighters. They say they've been taking out dozens of terrorists, and heavy fighting reported throughout northern Gaza. In many cases, they're going to have to start going into the tunnels, as we discussed at the beginning. That's going to be a deadly trap when they do. Coming up, let's turn our attention for a moment to Donald Trump on trial again and expected to testify after his children do.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beall has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beall, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I have only one recommendation for you when it comes to jewelry. Vincent's Jewelers. I've had Vincent's custom make some pieces for me. I bought quality pieces right out of the case. Vincent's locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Check their website daily for new items or specials. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, my only jeweler. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi is really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. Lit. STL.com.
I had me a girl, taught me those things a young man should know. Down, down on my knees and begging at feet to learn a little bit more. All that woman taught me to pray. I saw heaven every day.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This week, several members of the Trump family will be taking the stand in the $250 million civil fraud trial against the former president and his company. The New York State Attorney General's office announced on Friday they plan on calling Trump's oldest children to the stand on separate days this week. Donald Trump Jr. will testify this Wednesday, followed by Eric Trump on Thursday and Ivanka Trump on Friday. The former president himself is expected to be called next Monday. Prosecutors say they expect Trump will be their final witness.
There you have it from Mika Brzezinski from MSNBC talking about the Trump civil trial. It's a civil trial, not a criminal trial. And I'm stressing that for a reason coming up in a moment. I'll explain. As you heard her say, Trump is set to testify possibly next week. November 6th is now the date they've set. His sons, Donald Jr. and Eric, will be testifying before then. And then also Friday, the judge ruled that Ivanka Trump must also appear, rejecting her bid to avoid testifying. All of this is part of the Letitia James lawsuit, claiming that the former president, she is, of course, the New York attorney, claiming that the former president overstated his wealth for years on financial statements that were given to banks, insurers, and others to help secure loans and deals. Now, despite that claim, she makes no claim, no statement, no bank has come forward and said, we got defrauded, we did not get the money back, we got everything back, we loaned. Trump has made that very clear. But the fact that she says he overstated his wealth, he has been claiming, actually, I've understated my wealth. I didn't list everything I could have. Now, do I know the facts as to who's correct? I don't. But I do know this. There are very few in the corporate world, be it large or small business, or even someone wanting to buy a home, that don't tend to inflate numbers to make them look better if they can. I'm not talking about out and out lying. It's just, it's a borderline area. And when it comes to major purchases of large buildings or projects, especially in New York City, and what the bank wants to see, do numbers get inflated? I have no doubt that happens. And then if you default on the loan, well, then everybody's going to come after you because you did not pay it up and you put bad numbers in front of them. Now, the banks are doing their due diligence, which every bank should and would do. They may see that, well, these numbers look a little high, but we think it's going to be good, or they would never approve it. They would never approve it. If you go in to get a loan, you're going to buy a new house. It values at $6 million. Your total net worth is maybe $800,000. There's only so much you could inflate to say that I can take care of that house. But if you do it, you get the loan, if somehow or another the bank decides, okay, you're good, we'll count on you being good. They approve it, and you continue to make payments, you never default on it, no one's going to come to you. This is the key point of Letitia James. She ran on the campaign to become Attorney General. I will nail Donald Trump's scalp to my office door. And that's what she's still trying to do. Now, again, this is a civil case. There's no criminal activity involved here. Civilly, supposedly, misstating, misrepresenting the value of properties in order to get these loans. But again, I stress, not a single bank has come forward making such a claim. It's only the Attorney General's office. If that does not smack of politics, you're absolutely clueless. I don't care who it is. If they were going after Biden on this kind of charge, I'd be the first in line to say, you can't do that. If the loans were repaid and everybody's taken care of for and satisfied, there's nothing wrong here. So they fibbed on the numbers a little bit, but did they pay the loan? It's as simple as that. That is exactly why you don't have any of these banks coming after Trump. You have the Attorney General. It is a political move, period. Now, the difference between civil and criminal, George Conway, of course, you know him from the relationship of his wife and the Trump Association. But Conway has often getting a voice upon the liberal networks, but he appears as, quote, a conservative commentator. No, he's not conservative, but it gets him on, and he gets to spew what he thinks. Now, I'm not going to discount his ability as a lawyer, but he makes something very clear about the Fifth Amendment when it comes to this kind of case. Now, as you listen to this, I'll remind you, even in advance, Trump had said, anybody that takes a fifth, well, then they got to be guilty. Well, they don't got to be guilty. And Trump has taken the fifth several other cases that involve criminal activity. Now, this being a civil case, what's the value of taking a fifth by him and our members of the family? George Conway.
Eric Trump, according to the prior papers filed in the case, pleaded the Fifth Amendment over 500 times at his civil deposition in one day. In this case,
so
Donald Trump Sr., it's the fact of the matter is, because it's a civil case, the invocation of the Fifth Amendment can be used to draw a negative inference against the defendant. A court, a trier of fact, whether it be a judge or jury, can conclude, he's not answering that question. It must be because he committed fraud, or he lied previously, or he did something bad.
It is an answer.
You can't do that. You can't make that. Right. You can't make that inference in a criminal case, but that's one of the reasons why this case is so dangerous to Trump. Is that the assertions of Fifth Amendment, and Donald Trump himself asserted the Fifth Amendment over 440 times at his deposition in this case, that can be used against the defendant to infer, to allow the trier of fact, the judge here, to infer that this was a giant fraudulent enterprise, which he essentially has already concluded on the summary judgment based on the papers, which included those assertions of
Fifth Amendment. Right, this is a case, Elise, that in some ways part of it is already over. The judge has made this decision.
Yeah, that's right. It's already decided. It doesn't make a difference what the Trump team does. And you can infer, even in a civil case, well, they took the Fifth. There must be something wrong. George Conway, a lawyer, activist, and, of course, had been married to Kellyanne Conway, who was in the Trump White House for a period of time. But stating that, yeah, the fact that they take the Fifth, the judge can infer that means you're guilty. Where the hell does that come into the system of justice, even in civil court? You are entitled under the Constitution of this nation to take the Fifth. It does not say, but in civil cases, if you take the Fifth, they're going to assume you're lying. It says nothing like that. So the only person who would accept the fact that you're taking the Fifth means you're guilty is someone who doesn't believe in the Constitution. Do many of us hear of, in the past, mobsters, politicians, whatever, pleading the Fifth, and we know they're probably guilty as hell in our minds, but it doesn't mean they are guilty, be it criminal or civil. That is one of the more complexing issues about the Fifth Amendment I've ever heard. By the way, the judge overseeing the federal election subversion criminal case is, this is another judge, reinstated the gag order she issued against Trump earlier this month. She denied his request to issue a long-term stay of the order because he had targeted court personnel, potential witnesses, the special counsel team while the appeal played out. Now, this was, again, a separate case. The judge had earlier this month ordered the gag order after prosecutors raised concerns the former president could intimidate witnesses, encourage harm against prosecutors through public comments. Trump quickly appealed. The judge froze the order October 20th while Jack Smith's team and the attorneys litigated what should happen next. Well, last night, the former president slammed the ruling, claiming it infringed on his right to free speech. So now he faces two gag orders from banning from discussing aspects of legal cases in the public. One, that one, and then a second from a judge overseeing the civil fraud trial in New York, the one we were just discussing. So there's just another part of our Constitution being ignored, right? And his sons and his daughter apparently will be testifying through the civil case coming up. And if they take the Fifth, you're to infer and assume automatically they must be guilty. Must be guilty. May I caution you on something? Do not follow that inference. I don't care which side of the political aisle you're on. Keep in mind, someday you might need to take the Fifth. Even in a civil case, you want to suddenly to believe, well, you're guilty. You took the Fifth. But it's in the Constitution. No, I don't care. I don't care. It suggests that you're guilty. I'm going to go back to a question I raised earlier. It was based on that remark by Congressman Yaya Paul saying that Biden is out of touch with the nation and he needs to get things right. We're going to continue with that.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The American people are actually quite far away from where the president and even Congress, the majority of Congress, has been on Israel and Gaza. They support the right for Israel to defend itself, to exist, but they do not support a war crime exchanged for another war crime. And I think the president has to be careful about that.
In other words, there's Congresswoman Yaya Paul threatening Biden. You got to be careful here. You're going to lose a Muslim vote if you accept that it's okay for Israel to retaliate against Hamas because They invaded their country and slaughtered innocent civilians. And she wants you to believe that Biden and anyone of that thought is out of touch with the real thought of the American people. No. No. Emphatically, no. The American people do not accept slaughtering innocent, unarmed civilians, and especially babies. The Biden administration now announcing new actions today aimed at combating a dangerous scourge of anti-Semitic incidents on college campuses across the nation. All of this, of course, in the wake of the Hamas terrorist attacks. There was a tweet put up at Cornell that said, basically, shoot Jews or things of that effect. I don't have it here right here in front of me, but it was the kind of thing that, again, is showing inciting violence. Where are those who call out for dealing with hate crimes? Where are they? Where's the DOJ jumping in on these college campuses and those kinds of remarks? The White House did highlight a series of steps, it says, taken by the Department of Homeland Security, Department of Justice, and Department of Education, including engagement with campus law enforcement officials because of the rising tension. And again, over the weekend, in a series of anti-Semitic threats at Cornell University, the Jewish community was basically threatened. So the White House response is basically, let's just all kind of calm down. They're not going in and arresting and charging. The Department of Education office stating the uptake of the intake process or update of the intake process for discrimination will be watched closely in the certain forms of anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. They got to throw that in. No one should be condemning Muslims in general for what's happening with Hamas and Israel. You should not do that. But there seems to be no problem with those on the other side condemning all Jews, be they here or in Israel, for the killing of Palestinians in Gaza. That is not the intent of Israel. If that were the intent, it would not have taken these days to get things together. They'd just start blowing bombs on top of bombs into every area, not killing, caring who's where, even when it came to the hostages. I'd mentioned earlier that actress Angelina Jolie coming out claiming that, I care and I pray for the safe return of every hostage and those who lost a loved one who were murdered, especially the children who are now orphaned. What happened in Israel is an act of terror, but that cannot justify the innocent lives lost in bombing a civilian population in Gaza. They don't have the basic right to cross a border for refuge. You know why? Because Hamas will not let them out. They want them there as shields. They're building their weapons and their people under the hospitals and under homes. Comedian Amy Schumer, clearly a liberal, not someone I really cater to, but she is even calling out against fellow liberals who want a ceasefire in Gaza. Yeah, those like Angelina and others saying, we should have a ceasefire. Amy Schumer saying, why do you call for a ceasefire instead for Hamas to surrender? Amy, you hit the nail on the head. If Hamas would surrender, it would all stop. Coming up, The View, as a rabbi sees it, not only for us, but for the world. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.